Join myself and Rabbi Bazak for some holiday escapade, adventures, experiences and tips. The Dadding Podcast, Give Me a Break, Holiday Special. Welcome back to the Dadding Podcast. I'm Rabbi Fine.
And I am Rabbi Bazak.
Give Me a Break, Summer Holiday Special Edition. Right, we've done context, we've set the scene, we have chosen our destination. We are now in the airport conceptually, which I know is going to be a massive chasm between myself and you, Rabbi Bazak.
Yeah.
Right, let's go. Waking up the night before.
I don't even know what you mean.
Do kids not wake up excited quite early the night before because they're going on holiday the next day?
No, we've already been through the fact that my kids are expert sleepers. Right. Yeah, but so no, they don't wake up excited, no.
Got it, okay.
And if they did, they'd suffer the consequences, I have to be honest.
How early do you pack? This is airport and all its ramifications. Don't tell me you pack on the way to the airport kind of situation. Do you have a packing list?
One second. First of all, you'll be surprised to know that I actually do have a packing list.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I actually create my wife and I create a packing list, and we pack according to the list the night before.
Night before, that's all right. Night before is fine. Yeah.
Not all night. I mean, we start at like 12.
That's not good.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what time you're leaving.
What have you forgotten? What's the best thing you've forgotten to pack?
I'm embarrassed to say this. I've actually forgotten to bring my tefillin somewhere before.
You're joking.
Yeah, I've actually come to Israel and forgotten my tefillin.
No way.
Israel noch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, there's lots of people in Israel with tefillin. There's a wealth of tefillin in Israel.
What did you do?
I borrowed tefillin or something, and someone was coming out, and I got them to bring my tefillin. But I actually
to Israel.
There's very few things that, as a rabbi, can stress you out as much as, there's two things. Not knowing where you're going to find a mincha is quite stressful, but it's not even remotely.
Relatively speaking.
Yeah, but it's not even remotely as stressful. You're not even remotely as stressful as realizing you haven't got your tefillin. Mm. It's like a really traumatic experience, which I still clearly am suffering from anyway. Yeah, but packing list.
That goes in hand luggage. You never put your tefillin in the case.
No, it goes in hand luggage. Okay. Tuck in the case, often. Depending on where you need to daven, but
interesting. Okay, so you got your packing list. Really?
You go for talis in the bag.
I just have them all in one bag.
Yeah, but then doesn't that take extra hand?
It does take extra hand luggage.
Yeah, I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to sacrifice my.
I realise when you're flying with children. I mean, are you really going to take a book on the plane?
I do.
Like, when are you going to read that?
I do. In fact, I'm still living in the world where I take my base medrash on the plane. Yeah, you know, where I've got like...
All your Jewish books?
All my Jewish books. I take like 4 Jewish books and I'm going to get time to learn them.
When?
Right? I don't know exactly. But at a certain point during the flight, I will take out my Jewish books. And in fact, there was one time where my son was so amused by the fact that I had brought these books on the flight and clearly I wasn't going to study them, that he actually stacked them up like a bookcase on the table.
Brilliant.
Because he was like, off you go.
Brilliant. I mean, you are contravening one of our first rules, which is holidays are very different as a parent.
Yes.
Toilet schedule. Do you make them go to the toilet beforehand?
Of course, but the concept of this, we're building up towards a very big argument here, because the concept of schedule and toilet doesn't go with me. Fine, okay, but yeah, we make them go to the toilet first. Normally it doesn't work, but it's the best we can do.
Okay, I want to point out one thing which I find very irritating. The taxi always comes early. You book the taxi for 5 in the morning. No one wants to leave the house at 5 in the morning.
Right.
They're there at 4:30.
4:45, he calls you.
Expecting you to come out.
He calls you. And then you get upset when you get there at five. I know, and then you as the father say, no. No, we are not going out. We're not going out. But Daddy, we're ready. No, we called him for 5. We're going to go out at 5. I'm not leaving early for the airport. I mean, you might leave early from the airport if they get there early. But we are not. It is a funny thing that the taxi. There is an expectancy of the taxi that you're going to come early. I mean, why the? You also got kids.
So why should I come out my house? Why should I leave my house early at 5 in the morning?
Right, that's also true. Do they think that regularly this happens? Right, but you're also going to have a problem with that because you do on time. I don't really have a concept of on time. It doesn't really exist. I'm either early or late. Those are my two options.
Got that.
So
So even if you're ready at 5 o'clock, you say, oh, it's like 5:05.
It will inevitably end up being 5:05, meaning it won't, because I won't. I'm chronically unable to assess the time that a particular activity is going to take place.
Chronically, chronologically challenged.
Yes, very good.
That's better than Henvy.
Yeah, Hollenvy. Okay.
Nice. Okay, so what, I don't want to do this, but what time do you get to the airport? How many hours before? Let's say you're going to, you get international flight. Let's say you're going to Israel. Why not?
I've managed to convince my father, my father's an early flight man, I've managed to convince him that El Al changed their rules to, you only have to get there 2 hours before the flight. You know, they say three hours. I've convinced him, me and my brother have convinced him over the years that actually they changed their rules.
Which is not true.
Which is not true for anyone. Yeah, and you can actually get there 2 hours before the flight.
And? When do you normally get there? Come on.
Depends, with the family or with family?
No, family. It's always just dadding podcast.
Yeah, okay, so with the... With myself, I'm back there.
Yourself?
No. If it was just be myself, I would be there. I would be there just a tiny bit early. Not early at all. With my family, we get there. We aim for 2 hours, with sometimes a little bit less, which is not bad.
That's okay. That's not bad at all.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
I actually got there so early at one point, but I went through a few stages. First, anyone who's particularly organized will empathize with this, and you won't get this at all. Yeah. I've got there early enough that the desk hasn't opened. I've done that before. At one point, I thought to myself, maybe it's just, but my wife is very much a last, kind of more last minute, get there, etc.
That always happens.
That's the test of life, isn't it?
Yeah. It's always like hot and cold as well. They should do this in Shidduchim, like, do you like hot or cold? Because then they know if the other person wants to, when you're dating, if the other person likes it hot and you like it hot, then it's not going to go. Never have you found that.
You mean never you find room temperatures that actually coincide?
Yeah. Room temperatures, late, early.
Yeah, it's true. But you can't get to that pettiness on dating.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, anyway.
Anyway, so at one point I thought, you know, it's probably better for both of us if we get two separate cabs. Which, of course,
that is
ridiculous and never happened. So I've decided, as an erstwhile, respectable citizen, a rabbi, just to tell my wife the flight is actually leaving.
Early.
I mean, in fairness, I do the booking. Whatever.
Have you ever missed a flight?
No, do me a favour. I do know someone who fell asleep at the gate.
I've done that.
Have you?
I've done
Did
that.
Did someone wake you up in time?
I've spoken about my talent of sleeping.
Go on.
No, I didn't. I woke up suddenly. I was in Ben Gurion, and I'd actually, interestingly enough, made a terrible error and got to the airport very early.
Nice.
But it was a complete mistake. It was a complete accident. So I got to the airport really early and I thought, okay, fine, I'll sit down. And I just put my head down for a little bit. And literally, I woke up about, I hadn't checked in, and I woke up about 45 minutes before the flight was leaving. Yeah. And I quickly ran to the desk. It's Israel. And funnily enough, Israel is very useful in these areas because you can just kind of push to the front of the queue and everyone thinks you're being normal, right? And then you get to the front of the queue and they just zoom me through. Yeah. They drove me through on one of those cars to get me to the air because I was the guy that was that kind of they were waiting for. They'd made the final call.
They'd made
my name around the airport. Nice. People applauded as I came on the plane.
Sarcastic. Yes, I know. I actually fell asleep at the gate. Was not woken up. Woke up to see their plane taxiing.
At
the gate. Yeah, that's terrible. Amazing. He assumed. Oh, he wasn't in Israel. For what it's worth, he assumed that someone would wake him up. Clearly proved wrong. He actually tried. You know, when you see a plane taxiing away, I can't imagine it myself, but what does one do? So he tried to run off.
Back on the window. Back on the window.
Like, bang.
Wait! Okay. Hold on a second. They'll just wait. Yeah.
Okay. Let's do a little bit of dadding.
Now, one second. I just want to be clear. In this area, there is a lot of angst. I mean, I can empathize with Rabbi Fine's wife because we actually did an Israel trip together once, a bar mitzvah trip.
This is and you and me.
Yes. We did a bar mitzvah. Yeah, not me and
you.
I hear that, So Rabbi Fine and myself did a bar mitzvah trip together. And interestingly enough, the guy who was in charge of all the logistics was also on the Rabbi Fine side. And there were quite a few of the fathers on the trip who were on the Railway of Hindsight, and they had in the world of Google Maps and Waze, they had estimated, they'd checked how long it's going to take to get to the airport.
Terrible that time.
Right, and we were in Cholon at the Blind Museum, amazing. And we were travelling from Cholon to the airport, and I was, of course, according to Mike, they told me we're only going to make it to the airport 2.5 hours before. And I kind of like nodded, yeah. I didn't even know what they were telling me, these parents. They said, "Are you sure that's okay?" And I said, "Well, I mean, yeah."
You can't really answer someone who feels that right, you should get 3 hours to say,
So of course, on the way there, while we were sitting through the traffic, I was nurturing this anxiety. I was feeding it. It was to the extent that when we got off the bus, there was packed lunches. And some of the parents and Rabbi Fine and the guy in charge of logistics left their lunch.
Some people who were actually not joining us on the plane, they were just coming to say bye. I ignored some of them as well. 2.5 hours.
They left their lunch on the side and ran to check in. At which point... at which point, I managed to check in before Rabbi. I had strolled my way there, had my lunch, without explaining how, I managed to check in before Rabbi Fine, despite him trying to sabotage my plan numerous times. But I did check in before Rabbi Fine, and then, which was very painful for him. And then, as we're walking down the slope, I tried to convince him to daven Maariv, to daven the evening service. And he was very, very reticent. And he said, "If you have a minion already, I will join him." And I said, "Yes, we have a minion."
It was a very stressful
experience. Yeah, it was a very stressful,
experience.
I really enjoyed it personally. It wasn't very stressful for me. And then there's the queuing up for the plane, of course.
There's certain types, there's certain caricatures that happen in airport. I'm actually going to take you back before that. We'll do the queuing up in a second. Security. It's funny because they're looking for a reaction from you. Have you packed it yourself? And you know, et cetera. And they have to ask those questions. But you know what's coming. When they say, "You know why we're asking this, because in the past someone's given that this might be a bomb," you're thinking like, "You're joking."
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not, security is very important. I'm not.
Have your kids ever got you into trouble?
Yeah, one of my kids bought in hand luggage, a gun looking, water pistol.
And were you stressed
them,
about that?
After, no, I wasn't stressed, but after them asking all the questions, yeah, this, you know, the thing, and I was like, come on, I've heard this a million times in my brain. I was like, "No, we don't have anything threatening." And they checked my kid's bag, and this out
gun.
Gun looking, you know, aqua, whatever it was.
I once got my parents into trouble.
Go on.
My parents, as we once. My father's from Russia, well, Georgia, and we were travelling to, communist Russia.
Early 90s.
And we had travelled to communist Russia, and went to Georgia and various places. And then on the way back, we were bringing stuff back, including actually a Sefer Torah. We were bringing back a Sefer Torah. And funnily enough, they actually asked us about if we have any items that we're bringing. You know, like jewellery and stuff like that. They asked us that.
How do you get a Sefer Torah on the plane? Where did you carry it?
I don't know what we did. I can't remember. But the main thing that I told them was, they said, "Do you have any jewellery?" And I went, "Yeah, you know, David's got all that stuff he's wearing on his neck." Yeah. Now you have to remember, this was KGB days. Yeah. Good. This was like, so my father like looked at me with kind of the eyes of,
"What are you doing?"
I'm wondering just why you think this is okay to say that. Just why have you opened your mouth? We're in communist Russia. And the KGB guy smiled at him. Yeah, it was the airport security guy smiled at him and just went, like, winked at him and said, "Go on, carry on."
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. I mean, it's not a place for jokes, the airport.
No.
No. There was a fellow, allegedly, you know, these Jewish stories that may or may not have happened, who, upon entry to Australia, you get asked various questions. In Australia, they ask them, "Do you have a criminal record?" He said, "No, but I didn't realise you still need one of those to get in here." I think he was taken away for questioning.
He must have been a Hasmo boy.
I would not recommend going into that.
Let's be serious about security, because it is important. So.
No, and there are people doing their jobs, which is always important. Right, when they get all speedy boarding or vulnerable passengers, Can they please board?
Don't mention speedy boarding with Ian Yu, yeah?
do you go up to board? Come on, admit it. Do you go up?
My wife.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little bit English in this area.
Go on.
That I'm always nervous of pushing into the queue and apologize. My wife will happily say, don't be ridiculous. We've got 7 kids. We are vulnerable. Yeah. She's happily saying, she said, believe me, they don't want our kids frustrated on this flight.
That's nice.
They don't want that. Nobody in this room
altruistic
wants our kids frustrated on our flight, including us. We're getting on the plane first. So she goes up to, she doesn't even queue up.
Yeah.
She goes straight up to them and she goes, we've got 7 kids. They're like, come. Come, we'll get you on. Yeah, and she always gets us on first. I can always remember. She's brilliant, isn't it?
Last question here. Do you keep your kids together in the airport? Do you allow any of them to, I don't know, meander off, walk off, do their own stuff? Are you always together? I don't mean with the security. I mean, you're through already. You've done the questions. You put your...
We're always together. And I'm actually well... I actually plan food for the airport.
Do you really?
Yeah, which is interesting because most people don't do that. Because I'll tell you what happens. I'm always hungry when it gets to the airport, and regardless of time of day, I get to the airport and I'm hungry. So, and I, what I want to do is break into the sandwiches, which I packed for the plane, because obviously, and I don't want to do that. So I actually plan. Well, hold on, we're going to need food for the airport.
That's
so our kids are normally eating all together.
Interesting.
Which is nice.
That's nice. That is very nice. I'll just finish with this. My son, when he first flew, it's interesting how some things are repeat experiences for you, but new for them. We put our cakes down on the carousel when they weigh it. That's really stressful, by the way, when they weigh it.
Yeah, the weigh.
Oh my God. It's like, different you're techniques. Overweight. Firstly, that's very personal. And I've been trying to lose weight. When one prays, generally, this, you know, please don't let the suitcase be away. No one wants
and you
that.
See it, and you see it, the worst is when you see it as 23.2.
Terrible.
And you have now that moral dilemma.
Terrible.
Do you just put your foot under it and make it less than 23.2? I never do because someone's always told me that one of the things you can teach your kids on holiday is how to be honest.
That's true.
Right? Which is really important. So what I do is instead, I see it as 23.2, I take it off the scale, I take out a jacket or something, okay. I wear it,
and then I
ask them, do you mind, look, I've just taken this out, do you mind if I put it back in the case?
Nice.
Inevitably they go, no, there's no problem.
Oh, interesting.
It's funny. Yeah, it's funny. As long as you show your willingness
to comply,
they're normally okay with it being a bit over.
No one wants to open their case in front of others.
No.
It's very personal. I mean, your case.
Yeah. So I once saw someone who was about 20 kilos overweight. But they were about 20 kilos overweight. And what they did was they said, they tried to charge them like an extortionate amount of money. And he said, I just want to buy another ticket. And they didn't let him buy another ticket, obviously. So he went online, right, and was trying to buy another ticket at the check-in desk, right, for the plane. And they said, but we're still not going to let you take this case onto the plane. He said, but why? I've got 2 seats. He said, and he's having this argument with the desk, right?
Yeah.
And he wasn't a Jewish guy. He was non-Jewish. He said, I'm buying another seat. They said, like, you can't have another seat and you can't bring a big case like this onto... It was on this American... But we all stay together. I don't know how we got onto that. We all stay together.
I was just telling this closing story where some things are new for your children, if not new for you. So when we put the case on the weighing scale come carousel... And my son started darting after it. You know, they press the button and the carousel, etc.
Well, he dived on it.
Well, he ran out. He says, they're stealing our cases. He's a 3-year-old. It's his first airport experience. And he thought...
Did he get dragged along?
No, he didn't. We stopped him at that point. But he genuinely thought they were stealing our suitcases. Look, in fairness, you're a 3-year-old. You've come to your parents.
You put your case on.
And
then all of a sudden, this evil man has pressed go and it's stolen your case.
Away, no?
He's got the technology for it as well.
100%. You know, I think stealing is, you know, I hear that. Right, what we got next? Next episode, we are on the plane. Goodness me. Boarding, kids sitting where? Can you ever say they're not my kids? Other people tutting at your kids? Overhead baggage, listening to safety demo, and plane etiquette. To come on the Dadding Podcast, give me a break.
Thank you.
for listening to the Dadding Podcast. For more shiurim, classes, experiences, adventures, and events at Seed, please check out our website or email our office.